Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
That was exciting.
Boom! Fireworks! Pow! Pow! I try to do my best.
It's very exciting.
I don't want it to be this mundane every time you just hear, "Welcome to the Journey Together podcast." I thought it'd be funny.
So you're just going to change it up with voice inflections?
Yeah, I was. Thought I'd pause a little bit. Maybe people would want to check their dial on their radio, make sure it's like okay.
When you said their dial on the radio, I had a flashback, and this is 1965, and
oh my gosh,
maybe before then, I don't know.
You know, I miss the tape cassette
boombox
case.
Like a giant...
No, the case that's set in your car. Did you have? You had CDs. I had a car that was tape cassette and CDs.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, so I had like the whole like little cassette case with all the cassettes that I could press it in.
And you miss cassettes?
I miss maybe this is what I miss, being the DJ in someone else's car, and I could pick up their cassette case, like all of them. Oh. And then I could be like, "Oh, dude, you got this CD? You got this cassette, this record, whatever." And then I would pull it and stick it in.
Making mixtapes.
Oh, no, I don't. I do not miss making those because those were difficult.
They really were. They took forever.
That process, the time I wasted.
And then it could be moody depending on what you are going through. Breakup mixtape.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was not allowed to listen to secular music growing up at the Huffman household, but I could listen to oldies. So I would listen
define
to
oldies,
the oldies,
you know what
like,
I mean?
Like, what's the, like 1950s. I don't even know. All right.
It was music that didn't make your parents bad.
It was music that didn't make
therefore they were okay with
think
it.
Think about sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right, yeah.
All right.
That's, even though it still had that in there, just like softly put.
That's essentially what this
is. That is really funny.
Yeah. So
before we get started
my
on today's,
tapes
oh, we're going back to mixtape.
What was her name? What's her name?
Shania Twain?
No.
What are you asking?
Christian artist.
Oh, a Christian artist. Amy Grant.
Amy Grant. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like how I just went to the guessing that you wanted Shania Twain?
I don't even know.
I just was thinking about your age and then that being popular
right.
moment was Shania Twain.
That's funny.
You said she.
Man. You
Sorry,
know what?
I didn't hear the Christian
it's interesting
part.
To see who's watching this, if they're connecting with this at all.
Not at all.
If we've just.
If you were born in 2005, you think we are lame.
You know what, you guys? We're thrilled that you are with us. And thanks for making it through that, all of that intro. It was amazing.
That was 4 minutes of amazingness. All right. But before we actually get started in today's podcast, I would like to point out that I have a short sleeve shirt on. And my lady has a long jacket on. Some of you are sitting here going, their wardrobes are malfunctioning.
It's very cold today.
It's not.
It's not. But
it's perfect.
It's that really cold morning.
Yes, it is.
And then lovely afternoon.
Lovely.
Fall time in North Carolina is chilly, chilly in the morning. And then like everyone's normal temperature in the afternoon, you know, it's like 70 some degrees.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
But I haven't warmed up yet. I'm still like, I haven't gotten there yet. So then I need to have my jacket on. Josh was like, "Do you want to take that jacket off?" And I go, "No, I'm a girl. Like I'm a girl, Josh.
You're a lady.
I'm a girl." So I keep my jacket on.
So let's get into our topic. Now, we've had podcasts that have tiptoed on this. And we've had one podcast that was similar in the essence of how to say,
"I'm sorry." An apology.
But
this is deeper.
Are having one a little deeper, and that is what forgiveness really looks like.
There is a picture of forgiveness that the Lord has given me whenever I'm dealing with unforgiveness in my heart. And I enjoy those just mental imagery and how I process things because it's imagination station up here. So I really need like a heavenly picture in my mind, right? I've got mm-hmm. the mind of Christ. I need a good picture when I'm walking through needing to forgive. And that picture is of Jesus when he's hanging on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them for they know not what they do." And several years ago, the Lord had really just painted that picture in my mind that when I'm walking through these things, I have this image of Jesus forgiving those that, you know, because how often do we walk through hurt when people, they've hurt us and it's, they're just living life. And sometimes good people do unkind things, or sometimes unkind people do unkind things. But I'm thankful that in that moment, Jesus is looking at Peter, who denied him three times,
yeah,
the disciples who have forsaken him, those who are there, those who aren't, the very people that have crucified him. And yet he took the pain and shame of us all and bore it on that cross so that we could be forgiven and forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
So forgiveness, there is a picture of forgiveness that God wants to show us and that we need to live out in our lives.
Yeah. I think forgiveness, there, one key ingredient for me is responsibility. Take responsibility. Own it. Like own.
Of forgiving someone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like,
you're responsible because we are not responsible. I am, let's say that we've had an argument. I am not responsible for your attitude of forgiveness. I am responsible for my attitude of forgiveness because I have a personal relationship with the Lord and I need to take ownership of that in forgiving you and the same for you to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important. I think a lot of people just kind of shift blame and choose to do nothing because they just shift it to go, the other person needs to do this. When it's like, there's a responsibility on your part, and you need to figure that out and then step forward to actually take ownership of it.
And unforgiveness festers. Good gravy. Does it fester? Before you know it, it is just oozing out of every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not deal with it, according to the word of God. And let's just be real honest. As a believer, anyone in this earth, but we're talking because Jesus came for all, but for those that have chosen to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't forgive people without the power of the Holy Spirit helping you,
right,
to forgive people in the love of Christ. And we'll get into that in a second, but y'all, at some point, we're going to have to wake up to go, oh my gosh, why am I still struggling with this? Maybe possibly you're just trying to do this in your own will and it's just too much for you to bear.
Right.
And we really need help from the Lord and how we forgive. So in the Bible, forgiveness is the act of releasing or dismissing someone's sins and no longer holding them against you. I have this picture of like you have... Here you've been holding on to that unforgiveness, like right at your chest, right? And then you make a choice, that deliberate act of love, mercy, and grace that involves letting go of that anger and choosing to restore that just positive relationship. But it's truly a releasing, a sending forth, a putting away. And let's be real. There are times that it takes more than one day to walk through forgiveness with someone. Because I think often we're like, oh yeah, I forgave them. And then the next day you get up and you're still dealing with the same old festering thoughts.
Yeah, right. You got to work through that. That if that's the case, then there's some issues.
This is every day. When you have battled a hurt, this is every day I am choosing God to give you this unforgiveness. And you get real honest about it with the Lord. Lord, I'm dealing with this and it hurts. I need your help right now. So God, I need to put this away from me. He wants that weight. He wants that care. He wants that unforgiveness. He wants that anger. All of the little, you know, just oozy parts of what this looks like before it turns into this bitterness inside your soul, where you've got to just really get honest before God and say, God, I need to put this away from me because we're just keeping it trapped in our thoughts. We're keeping it close to us. And when something's close to you, you wear it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like unforgiveness becomes your perspective.
Yeah. And then obviously from that position, you begin to make either decisions or life-altering type of decisions as well. And it changes the course of where you should have been or what you could be doing.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. So that's where it's really important that you overcome these moments of unforgiveness in a healthy but quick way to address the situation and figure this out ASAP. It is not worth carrying. The amount of devastation that unforgiveness can put on your life is, the magnitude of it is incomprehensible, because it actually takes the most valuable item that we have been given as human beings, and that is time. And it can eat away precious time that you can be involved in doing better, more productive things in your life.
Unforgiveness causes stress, which can trigger sickness, stress-induced sickness in your body.
Yep.
Unforgiveness can bring on those, because it's a care, something you're holding on to, can bring on panic attacks. Now, let's talk about, okay, there's grief and there's grieving. When we park ourselves in grief, we can find that we're not surrendering that sorrow and that pain to the Lord. And you can find yourself really in a place of real heartache and going backward in life, and even to a point of sin, of unbelief, of the, you know, living in that why moment. Grieving makes a choice to move forward and allow God to heal the hurt, right? You're taking those necessary steps to grieve. And I think of that the same way with unforgiveness, where if you find yourself just parked there, not taking that emotion and that hurt or that pain and all of that angst and anger to God, then it becomes a sin, because it's a weight in your life that you don't trust God. Here, God freely has forgiven you. We freely forgive others. We can say all those scriptures, but until you actually take a step of faith and say, God, I'm going to give this to you, then you'll find yourself in a place of sin before the Lord. Like you said, it's a time sucker. Satan's out to steal, kill, and destroy any which way he can. And isn't it wild? The very thing that hurts you, that maybe someone else was in sin, can then turn into a sin in your own life when you choose to not deal with it and take the responsibility of loving them in Christ.
Yeah. You know, biblically speaking, there's a parallel, and I want to read 1 John 1:9 in the Amplified here. There's a parallel to our walk in forgiveness with our Father, meaning our Father's walking in forgiveness with us, of we present these problems, you know, our issues, repenting of these things. And so he gives us a great example. So in 1 John 1:9 in the Amplified Bible says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and purpose. So here we have this beautiful picture of when we have sinned and we go to our Father and we like, please, you know, forgive us, God. What he's doing is he's taking you from 1.0 Josh to 2.0 Josh. And each moment that we come to him, we have a transformation that takes place, and we grow and we grow. He wants to see that growing, that we're not our old self any longer, and that we move from this position to the next position. Paralleling this to our own human existence of forgiveness and unforgiveness that we deal with, you know, we need to be quick to do this, quick to do it. Because if you've ever experienced unforgiveness from someone, you know, they've wronged you or whatever, and you're not walking in forgiveness, you're harboring that, what typically takes place is you go around kind of, if you're not, you know, lock and key, you end up verbalizing that pain to other people that someone caused you. That this or that, and it's very poisonous, and it goes deeper and deeper. You know how we always talk about how you can romanticize about something in a positive way, even though it's maybe not even close to being that good or whatever, but you can romanticize about it. Well, the same takes place in the deconstruction of the positivity of someone. You can paint them in your head in such a way that it's so bad. Yeah. And the situation may have not been as worse as you have painted it now to be or believe it to be. And the longer you manifest or fester on that, it manifests into something that's worse and worse and worse. And that's where you've got to be really quick to forgive others so that you don't harbor those ill will or that ill will towards someone. And that's why it's important.
Yeah.
Because when I look at what God gives us as an example that he'll do for us, we need to quickly do for someone else. We need to forgive them. We need to walk in forgiveness. We need to seek forgiveness from others as well. If you've wronged somebody, be quick to do it. Because if you don't, then what happens is that festers longer than it should. And then they paint you in a horrible light that actually shuts the door completely because you've waited too long. Because they have just, now they have a bigger bridge to build over the troubled water. And I want you...
Isn't that a song?
Yeah. Bridge over troubled water. Right, anyway, so it's important that we don't hinder that process and that we're quick to do it. Because our Heavenly Father gives us this same example, that we can freely come to him. We can lay all this down to him. In a split second, you can do all this.
So are you a person that someone can freely come to you? That's a good evaluation. Can your spouse freely come to you from a place of forgiveness or repentance? Or do you constantly shut the door in their face? Can your relatives or the people you work with freely come to you?
Yeah. Do they have to pay penance? Do they have to pay the tax collector here? Because that's not a great way to live. Because again, this is not the example that we're giving.
Right, you're
going
to stick it to
us.
Them essentially.
You're going to have to rub my feet, and you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do these things versus just freely forgive them without any type of recourse.
You know, when you were talking about all of that, of romanticizing that unforgiveness and the hurt, and we don't downplay what was done.
No.
And want to validate your emotion and your feelings of what you've gone through. It's hard and it hurts. This is real. But the way I saw that was you then turned that person into a supervillain. And in your mind, when you paint someone as a supervillain, then, you know, when we're watching movies, very rarely is the supervillain ever turn into a hero. So then they're always placed in that super villain category.
Right.
And I got to tell you, the blood of Jesus is greater than any hurt, any pain, any offense. And this is why Jesus so lovingly tells us to pray for those who spitefully use us, to pray for our enemies, for those that have hurt us. And I love this set of scripture in Psalm 103, 10 through 14. It says that Psalm 103, 10 through 14. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. The Lord has not put you as a supervillain because of what you've done in your sin. And in the same breath, we can't put that label on others, even if it's been horrible. This is where we just got to say, God, I release them to you. I am praying for them that come against that just demonic deception in their life or whatever it is they need healed and restored. And release that person to the Lord and ask God to send other people to minister to them so that you can release them out of your life from that place of unforgiveness. I have never regretted whenever I have walked through forgiving someone according to the Word of God. I've also never regretted being the person to first say, hey, I love you and I am sorry if I've hurt you. Or having that conversation of reconciliation, will you forgive me? I have regretted when I've waited too long. I still want to do it. I still, you know, God will redeem the time. But unfortunately, at those moments, you know, that, like you said, that door of opportunity may be closed to that relationship. There have been those moments where I'm like, God, why did you wait so long, Anna?
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
So this is where, and how do we forgive? And we've been talking about the three ways that we're really going to kind of walk through already today. But first, is prayer, getting honest with God and pouring your heart out to Him. And you begin to leave the unforgiveness, the hurt, and the pain with Him, knowing that Jesus bore it all on the cross so that you don't have to. You are able to boldly go to that throne room of grace and obtain mercy when you need it the most. So this, you guys, this is all prayer. God, I'm angry. This person has hurt my feelings. I need help. Like, you start to have that honest conversation. Lord, show me where I've missed it. God, show me how to love on them. God, help me to love on them. I mean, you just start having that conversation with the Lord rather than having that conversation with someone else that's going to stir the pot and make it a greater problem. God wants to have he wants you to take every bit of this to Him.
Yeah.
He wants you to take all of that unforgiveness, all of that hurt, all of that pain, and we miss it when we don't.
Correct.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're prolonging the inevitable. You gotta walk in forgiveness. Do it sooner than later. And there's a process to do it. And that is by going to the Father, as you're describing, and saying, all right, because I there's some indicators for me, I believe, that we miss at times. When, if you're talking to more than one person about it, then there's a problem.
Oh.
If you are having ill will towards another person, like you're wishing ill will towards them, yeah, then we have a problem. If you're saying everything but the me factor, if you're doing the blame game, then we have a problem. Then these are like three indicators that you need to say, all right, I need to internally go to the Father to work on my heart, and therefore I can overcome these things. So I don't have ill will. I'm not talking to more than one person about it. And again, you got to think, if that person doesn't have responsibility that you're talking to in some form or fashion, then you're in gossip. But, I mean, it's okay to talk to your spouse about those things. That's a given. No longer two, but one. So you have every ability to go to your spouse. So if you have an unforgiveness in your heart that's outside of your marriage and you're going to, like, you know, it's a coworker or whatever, talk to your wife, obviously, or talk to your husband about it. But in the situation that you have a problem, it's that person you need to talk to immediately, no one else. Because otherwise, now you're interjecting in other people's opinions and thoughts that could be not even close to that. Now, you can seek wisdom and counsel through your pastor or someone who is non-biased, so they have the ability to point
biblical
to you.
Biblical direction.
Yeah, they can give you a point you to the Bible and send you on your way. So that's where you can go in those directions, and that's perfect when it comes to forgiveness. But the minute that you start behaving in a way differently around the individual, there's bitterness, there's strife, there's moments of ill will, or you're being poisonous and you're talking to more than one yes. person about it, these are moments to go, okay, something internally that I need to deal with. That is important. And that's where you've got to go to your Heavenly Father. And you got to go, all right, Lord, you know everything about me. And you know what needs to be corrected or fixed. So, Lord, show me so that I can walk in forgiveness. Then I can maybe go to the person if I need to, or if I just need to let it go. We said it earlier, and we've said this time and time again. Is there biblical justification for us to never have to talk to another person again? And that sort of kind of thing is, yes, you can forgive somebody and move on, and you don't have to go back to them. And that's kind of like the dog eating its barf type of scripture. And do you need to go back to it and keep getting abused over and over again? No, that's not the case. Because a lot of times people will be like, if you get hit in the face, turn your other cheek, you know, and let that person hit you there. And you just don't keep turning your cheeks back and forth.
That's out of context, too.
Well, I know, yeah. Right. But that's what they think. They're thinking that that's the case. No, you can forgive and move on. Okay, forgive and move on and create boundaries that are healthy so that you don't have to experience that pain over and over and over and over again. So that's not what we're talking about. But I want to, that's not the case with my spouse and with some relationships in my life, that I'm willing to fight for these things to seek complete healing and restoration, full restoration, and not having this still shrapnel moving around in my body. I want a complete healing that I don't ever want to bring these things up and just keep digging it back and back and opening up wounds that don't need to be opened. So true forgiveness is a supernatural forgiveness that God will walk you through and teach you how to do it.
I'm glad you brought up shrapnel, because how often are there little things hidden in our lives that you say, God, open this wound up and clean it out in Jesus' name. Like, start with me. I really love Psalm chapter 86, verse 5 in the Amplified. It says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our sins, sending them away completely, letting them go forever and ever, and abundant in loving kindness and overflowing in mercy to all those who call upon you." When I think about calling upon the Lord in that time of needing forgiveness, I first have to think about how good God is as my Heavenly Father. And the blood of Jesus is continually drawing me near to the heart of my Father, that whenever I draw to Him in prayer, that these things that I'm dealing with and these hurts are going further and further away from me, right? Because they don't have place in my life. And you guys, that's huge. I was actually thinking, one of our kids apologized to me for something a little while ago. And it was something pretty hard, actually. And I thought of as a parent, I thought, I forgive you on the spot. And I also know that I can't bring this up anymore, because if I do, it will hinder your growth, and it's not okay. Like, when you truly, as a parent, forgive your child, you want the best for them, and you never want them to feel a shame.
Mm-mm.
Or have to relive that again, because you want to see him grow. And then I thought, that's what God did for me.
Yeah.
Through Jesus. And then I thought, if I'm willing to do this for my kid, then you got to be willing to do it for your spouse.
Yeah.
For others, right? It is that beautiful picture. And you think about what that looks like in prayer. Guys, I'm concerned that we're just not praying when we're hurt like we should.
Yeah, I think you're probably playing the rewind game, where you're just rewinding the situation over and over again of how you wish it would have been different.
Yeah.
Or how you wish you could have changed something. And then it's like you just sit there and fester on it and fester on it. And then that's when...
Because when you pray, you allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, and you begin to draw from that strength from the Lord. And then that takes us to our second part. So first, prayer. We're going to start to pray. We're going to start to talk to God about this.
Yeah.
Get a just a great Holy Spirit perspective. But then we forgive by faith. It is the only way. We need faith to forgive. There is faith. This is why you've got to renew your mind to the Word of God. Scriptures in forgiveness, scriptures on love, scriptures on your thought life, scripture on what God says about anger or hurt, scripture what God says on offense. And you say, well, how do I find these scriptures? You're able to actually go to openbible.com. You can Google a whole thing of scripture. When I'm dealing with something, I'll be like, oh, I need scripture on forgiveness. Then I'll get on there, find a whole set. It's just scripture. And I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me a scripture I need right now. Because this is the weapon that God gave us, the sword of the Spirit, to combat the attack of Satan, of trying to get us to live in that out of love, right? He doesn't want you to be in the love of God. So he tries to get you to step out of love and to cling to that hurt and to cling to that offense. So you have got to stand on the Word of God, because that's how you build your faith. It's full of power to know how to forgive people. In our marriage, we're constantly reading scriptures on our marriage and how to love each other better, right? We're constantly reading scriptures on how to forgive our kids. Good Lord Almighty, we're all the time talking about scripture on forgiveness and loving people and being kind. Our favorite scripture for our children, ages now 19, 16, 14, and 12, Ephesians 4:32, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." That is a regular Gresham family scripture.
Yes.
Of, hey, this is it. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you to do this. But you got to know what the word says about it. Otherwise, you're just doing your own thing. And then you look like the world. And then you don't look like a believer. And there's no love of God pouring out. And people just think you're a stink butt.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's true.
Yeah. You can't have that. You can't afford that. That's a character killer. If you're a Christian and we are to be known by our fruits, this is a killer. So that's why it's important that we as Christians need to rise up to do what's right. And the Word of God points to a lot of examples of forgiveness. And one of the moments that I mentioned earlier with that forgiveness is Matthew 18, and that's a great chapter. And in verse 15, talks about, you know, if another believer sins against you. Remember, it says if another believer. So meaning that we are assuming by a believer someone who knows what the Word of God says. So be careful, because if you're dealing with an unbeliever, they may not have that same approach of knowing what the Word of God says and understanding the God forgiveness level of love that we need to be operating from.
Yeah.
So that's another factor with this process that you may be going through. But it does say another believer sins against you, go privately and point out that offense. And if the other person listens and confesses, then you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you, go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. So that's where you don't have to keep going back and forth.
But at what point do we just start communicating the love of God and are willing to be a disciple of Christ and say, hey, that hurt. Can we talk about this? I mean, I feel like everybody's just avoiding everything nowadays, or it's done in such a way that it's backhanded. And you find that in your marriage, you find that in life, rather than just having a healthy Christ-centered conversation. Why don't we normalize doing what the Word of God says? Whenever I studied out Ephesians 4:32, and I like looking these words up and just seeing what all they all mean. And so that word forgiving one another, that word forgiving in Ephesians 4:32 is comes from essentially the word grace, of showing favor or to give freely. I show favor to, I pardon, I forgive, I show kindness. And this is essentially God giving us his grace freely given to us, his unmerited favor that now we receive, that we extend to others. Maybe we're not having this conversation because we've yet to fully receive God's grace for our own life. And we're walking around feeling like we, like God hasn't forgiven us. And I think so often that's a huge part in this, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you're internally, outwardly expressing things that you may not feel like you're doing it, but you're showing your internal relationship that you have with your Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's time to receive the truth of God's word, and that you trust that God hears you and he's helping you and he's got a new mercy, but there's a grace that has been freely given, paid for, and that's how you were saved. And you made that confession of faith into salvation. It's by grace of which you're saved, not your own works. Here we're trying to get everybody to work at everything, and forgiveness is a gift that's already been paid in full through the love of God and his Son.
Yeah.
And guys, that's a holy wake-up call. That leads us to the third part, because this is how cool Jesus is. This is how much he loves you and how much he loves me and you, Josh. That he gave us the Holy Spirit because he knew we would need help doing this, mm-hmm. Okay? So we have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is helping you to forgive like Jesus in this world. He's also helping you and showing you how to set healthy boundaries with people that have hurt you. The Holy Spirit will show you these things. He gives you strategies. He also is giving you the boldness to forgive, the courage to step out and be willing to forgive something really hard and love someone really big, you know, and or even really small, whatever it is. He is your inner witness, right? He is your advocate, your intercessor, your helper, your standby. He's right there with you. Y'all, we got to ask for his help and recognize that this is why we have the Holy Spirit helping us to produce that good Holy Spirit fruit so that we know we're not alone whenever we've been hurt and things are hard. And the Holy Spirit, I know in our life when we're going through things and it's tough and we're angry and, you know, you may say, well, I want to hit you upside the head with the frying pan, or I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to sleep on the couch, or I'm going to jump in the car and drive away, or I'm going to, you know, fill in the list of whatever you're going to do.
I think you need to stop.
No, I think it's relatable.
No, I know. It is. No, I'm saying all the things.
I'm going to cuss you out. What? I'm just, this is what unforgiveness looks like.
I know.
Gets ugly.
I know.
It gets real ugly real fast that the Holy Spirit says, hey,
yeah,
God loves you. You love them. Let me help you to not say things, or he'll help you repent real quick. Or quicken you right in the middle, go, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? If we would just listen and tune in, and it's funny, we were at a marriage thing, and he was like, you starting to get an unforgiveness or strife? You start making out with your spouse. And I'm like, well, that would stop it. But most people aren't going
they
to
can't
do
flip that.
That
switch.
No, it's really hard. That's in
realistic.
The movies. That's a movie perception. But I do believe that there is a Holy Ghost power, and I know it because I've experienced it in my whole life, and the Word says it, that will help you to wake up to what the love of God is and how you have the love of God in your heart through Holy Spirit power.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, to kind of start wrapping this up, I want to bring out the story because this is where it happens, because this is the question that was presented to Jesus. And it was about divorce. And there is a forgiveness element into this process because, so let's read it. So it's Matthew chapter 19. And it said in verse 7, it says, then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away, they asked. And Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as concession to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended. And that's back to the picture that God wants us to have healthy marriages. He wants us to have and walk in forgiveness. And he wants us to thrive. He does not want us to get to divorce to where it's just a hard heart.
Everything's hard.
Right. So yeah. He's saying you have to understand God's purpose and his will for your marriage, which is not to have a hard heart, but to walk in forgiveness. And I think that that's not only in your marriages, but in every other way of life that you need to walk this way. That way you're in constant practice of it, and it becomes easy for you to forgive versus this, it's going to be a very long, tough road of forgiveness. And that's not the way it is. God wants us to walk in forgiveness so we don't walk in a way of heart, having a hard heart or being ill will towards anyone.
Hey, this is what forgiveness really looks like. It's an eternal picture of reconciliation that's done only through Jesus. And I'm so thankful for forgiveness in our marriage. I'm thankful that you're willing to forgive me when I say stupid things. And I'm thankful that we live that out loud for our kids and for our church. Here at Trailhead Church, I'm so thankful that the Lord continually takes those conversations and then helps us to grow so that, like you said, we're quicker to do it. Because we're going to say things happen, guys. Things happen that need forgiveness. And I'm so thankful that Jesus has taught and instructed us that it's 7 times 70? Is that how many times we forgive? Did I get those numbers right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell us to do something that we couldn't do in his strength or through his grace. And why we need those new mercy. You all know that mercy, the definition of mercy is undeserved forgiveness.
Yeah.
And he has a new mercy for us each day to receive and extend. My encouragement to you is don't beat yourself up when forgiveness takes a moment. Just keep walking through that process of prayer and faith and allowing the Holy Spirit to help you. And you're going to find that one day you'll wake up and you're just free and you can look at that person and not be angry anymore.
Yeah.
And believe the best. My encouragement is that you pray for that person and you ask God how you can love them in the love of Christ and get your flesh under. I don't ever want my flesh to rule me.
No.
I don't ever want to be ruled by my flesh. I want my spirit man to be the one that just is the driving force and it's strong in the Lord. God loves you. We're cheering you on. And we really hope this message ministered to you.
Yeah. You take the forgiveness medicine that has been prescribed to you right now, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel better in a few hours. So
maybe a minute. Maybe absolutely. A second. Listen,
it is
we don't limit God.
Instantaneous.
We don't limit God nope. on what he's doing in your life.
Yep.
All right. Love you guys.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.